you tonight with this word called joy. James chapter 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. But I believe it's going to be a help to you tonight. It says, James, the servant of God, chapter 1, verse 1. James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall in divers temptations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this night you've given us. Yes. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts in such a way, Lord, to be pleasing to you. I do pray for open ears and hearts, Lord, that we'll leave here different, Lord, than the way you came in tonight. Father, I do not take anything for granted. There may be someone here, Lord, that do not know Christ as personal Savior. Father, I pray tonight will be the night of salvation for them. I do appreciate the message that was preached this morning. Father, if you still stirring in that person's heart tonight, I pray, Lord, that they will realize their need for you. We do love you tonight. We do ask, Lord, that each person here will be encouraged, challenged from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And Father, please help me tonight. I need your help. I can't do anything without you. And Father, I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have read this passage of Scripture before? Raise your hand. Next question. How many of you, when you fall in divers temptations, count it hard to be joy? Raise your hand. Come on, let's be honest tonight. It's a hard thing, amen. I mean, it's good when we're trying to help others, but when our time comes, boy, you're trying your best. Where is it going to come from? And I want to help you tonight with this word joy. And I trust that you're going to get something. And I've been reading this. I've studied this. Matter of fact, when I was in college, we had to dissect this. And I never, ever saw it like this. And it's nothing new. It may be new to me, but it's never new, okay? Nothing new under the sun, amen? So I want to be a help to you tonight. And I want you to understand. Look at verse 2 again. It said, my brethren, count it all joy. Notice it didn't say count your joy. And a lot of times our problem, we try to count our joy when it said count it all joy. Now, it's based on the situation and the circumstances that are taking place in your life, and you're somewhat doing any adding. What we do, we add up our problems, and we depress ourselves. Amen? And so he's saying here, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation. And that word fall in divers temptation, have you ever been just surrounded by problems? After one problem, after another problem, after another, you've just been dotted up with problems. You know, my mom said when it rains, it pours, okay? I knew an older lady, she's dead now, but she couldn't count, but she can count to one to two, okay? She would say, honey, if it ain't one thing, it's two. And you ever heard that? Well, when it rains, it pours, okay? And all those things. And what I'm saying to you, sometimes you just dot it out. And a lot of time when you feel like you're coming out of that trial and tribulation, seem like the Lord just turned the heat up a little bit higher. And a lot of time we fought the devil for these things. Let me tell you something, but God is trying to do something in our lives. Now, notice the word count here. Count it all joy. Now, let's look and see where we get our joy from here. And it said, count it, didn't say count your. Now, notice in John chapter 15, and summing it all up in chapter 15, how in chapter 14, Jesus Christ was telling the disciples he's about to lead the same, and et cetera, and he's going to send it under the Holy Ghost and down, and et cetera. And you know, they were troubled. They were troubled. And so we're going to pick up in John chapter 15, and let's look at the abiding part here of the scriptures here, and we're going to pick up at chapter 15. Let's look at verse. Let's look at verse 9. Let's pick it up at verse 9. Notice what he says here. Let's look at verse 7. I'm sorry. If you abide in me, and my words abide in ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now notice, continue in my love. Because here's the thing, situations, circumstances, and Satan always casts suspicions upon the character of God. Listen, be careful. These things are going to come up against the love of God in your life. And so he's telling them you need to continue. Now notice what else he says here in verse 10. If you can keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that, hit me with the next two words, my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. So here's the thing here. Christ is saying, listen, it is my joy that remain in you, then your joy be full. So what we have done, we have excluded Christ out of the equation, and we count on our love when it's Christ's love, listen to me carefully, and it's Christ's joy that remained in us, and therefore our joy be full. So basically, listen to me carefully, our minds and our hearts is fixed on us when it ought to be fixed on him. And so that's where that joy comes from. Look back and realize that he said, if my joy remain in you, then your joy be full. Realize what he's done for you. Look at Calvary. Talked about that a little bit this morning, didn't we? Look at Calvary, what he's done for us. Look at the joy that was set before us, him. Amen. When he was going to the cross. That we would be, amen, in the family of God. So think about that joy. Look back and think about it as his joy, not your joy. See, we can't handle it. Our joy is based on circumstances and what's happening. His joy remains. If he remained in you, then your joy will be full. I'm not belittling your problems. Please, please, please. I'm saying our joy is in the wrong place. Let me give you an example here. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And as we're turning there, the disciples had been sent out on a journey, and we're going to pick up where they came back. They're going to come back with a report to the Lord. Chapter 10, and let's pick it up at verse 17, okay? Verse 17. And look what he says here, verse 17. And the seven returned again with what?
Joy.
Now listen to what they say here, what they're saying. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That was based on situations, circumstances, joy. And look what he says to them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. Notice what he says here. Notwithstanding, in this, rejoice not. He said, I have nothing to rejoice about. That situation, hey, I took care of Satan a long time ago. I gave you the power to do this. I took care of this. See, that's nothing to rejoice about. But rather, help me now, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. That's what you ought to rejoice about. And he said, that's important. See, we're not looking far enough, are we? A lot of us, we're not looking forward to going to heaven. But he said, you rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Now notice the prefix of this word. Rejoice. You ready for this? Heaven will never change for me. I can rejoice over and over and over and over and over and over and again and again and again. Because where? Heaven is my home. That'll never change. So I'm bound for heaven and that'll never ever change. So I can't, listen to me carefully, in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of my problems, I can rejoice because my name is written in heaven. He said, that's what you ought to rejoice about. You rejoicing because of something I've done. He said, that's nothing to rejoice about. I took care of this for you, buddy. And guess what? I gave you a place in heaven. That's what you ought to rejoice about. Eternal. Isn't that something, joy to rejoice? How better it gets. Notice. Let's turn to 1 Peter, based on those in the same lines here. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And notice what he says here in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Isn't that something? I'm going to stop right here. I need to go further. I'm just going to stop here. Blessed be God. And he says, and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to tell you something, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now notice, and I'm going to go on a little bit here in a minute. That word blessed, now it doesn't mean happy here when it refers to God or refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to be well spoken of. In other words, you want to break it down out of terms, he's going to brag on God. And notice what he said here in verse 4. He said, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and faded not away and reserved in heaven for you." He's talking about our home, incorruptible, a perfect home, undefiled, okay, a pure home, and faded not away. It'd be a permanent home. What a thing to rejoice about. Notice what he says here in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. Wherein ye, what's the next two words? Greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, temptation, that the trying of your faith might be, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, that it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice the word greatly rejoice. This is, here is, it's just a greatly, it's the extraordinary. It's more than just rejoicing. Now he's going to greatly rejoice. Now Peter saw something here. Now notice verse 8 here. He says, "Who having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now you think about this. Now Peter saw something here. And he's seeing here the glimpse here of heaven. And he's saying that we have this home that is incorruptible. It's been kept incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Wherefore we greatly rejoice. Now he's mentioned this joy unspeakable. You ready for this joy unspeakable? You ever witnessed something that really just, oh man, wow. You ever been there? And notice, here, this is Mike Kelly turn here, okay? Notice, it was so awesome that he could not find the Greek language to explain it all. And the Holy Ghost said, "Hey, just put unspeakable there. You can't explain it. You can't describe it." Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Isn't that something? Notice, while we're in Peter, let's go to chapter 4. Now, we'll get back to James here in a minute, okay? We'll get to the message in just a minute. Notice chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire of trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy." Exceeding joy. You ever heard of the whole English word hyperbole? It means to expand, or it means to exaggerate. When you say someone exaggerating, guess what? They're lying. But that's what the word means. It doesn't mean lying, okay, but it means to exaggerate. And you know what that means? Here's the key here. Let's say I'm trying to, my target is to get to that door there. Okay, and that's it. That's my destination. Now, the word here, this word hyperbole, means to expand. It means to exaggerate. It means it goes beyond the target. That means if that's my target, I say, okay, that's further. Go further. Go further. And it means to extend. It means to keep going. It means to continue. In other words, let me share something with you here, and we'll see this in Ephesians, and we'll get back to James. You see this in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and let me explain it to you. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's get there for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2. And look what he says here. And I should read it all, but I won't. Let's look at verse 4. He said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together." Isn't that something? How he quickened us. And now how he elevated us with Christ, spiritually speaking here. And then he says here, "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now notice verse 7 is where I want to park it. "That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Notice here, now here that in ages to come, he's speaking of, and you can look at it however you want to, but he's speaking of when we get our glorified bodies, when we get to heaven, Christ God is saying, "I got so much that I'm going to show you the exceeding riches." And notice, my friend, notice this now. Think about 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 million years from now. Still exceeding. There'll never be a dull moment in heaven. And what God is saying, listen to me carefully. He said, "Listen, I got so much to show you when you get there." He said, "Guess what? You ain't seen nothing yet." And you ready for this? And I hear people say, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, well, why this happened?" You ready for this? Now, I'm going to use some bad language, okay? You ain't going to ask him nothing. You know why? Because listen to me carefully. What happened up there, guess what? It's like a drop in the bucket what took place here. Light affliction when you get there. And you find people, I've been in churches where folk won't move. You'll be moving then, amen? Hey, guess what? He said, "I got so much to show you." Listen, the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, we need to look ahead. Amen? We need to look ahead. And he's telling us, "I got so much to show you." You ever thought about, man, when we get to heaven, what will we be doing? Millions and trillions of years from now. Boy, that's hard to fathom, isn't it? And God said, "Guess what? You'll never exhaust me. I'm going to keep going." Isn't that something? Brother, I believe we'll be like little children. And what I mean by that, listen to me carefully, there'll never be a dull moment. After everything is taken care of, there'll never be a dull moment. Now notice, I want to help you with James, okay? And now let's get to the message. Just wanted to let you see that word joy for a minute. I want to help you with James. So turn back to James chapter 1. Notice, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall in divers temptation." Help me with the word. Come, help me with this word, Henry. Repeat after me. Say the word count. Say it again. Count. Count. Now that word count, he said, count it all joy when ye fall in divers temptation. The first word I want you to see is count. This is a financial word. Brother, I like money. I don't have any, but I like it. Amen. But it also, you know, Paul counted in Philippians. Remember all the things to gain Christ. Amen. He counted to be dung. Amen. To gain Christ. Now, notice, it's a financial word. It also means to evaluate. Now, I'm not going to tell you. Let's say if I had two bills to pay and I only had enough money to pay one. So I'm going to evaluate which one is most important. Y'all get me? Let's say I have a car note and a power bill. And then I get the count. Here's the count. Well, this power bill, one I got, man, it's cold. I need heat. You know, understand? And I need this. You understand? Let's use some, okay? Now I say, boy, my refrigerator, I wanted my food to go bad. Man, I need the air conditioning. And I get the count. I get the evaluate one. Then I said, with the car, well, maybe I could, you know, maybe they have a little grace period with me. Whatever. Other words, I'm going to make the right decision as to which one is most important. Now, y'all ready for this? Pull off your spiritual mask, okay? Here's the key. When I'm going through trials and tribulation, I'm going to figure out which one is most important. You ready for this? I'm going to use two sides. This is the flesh. Over here, this is the things of God. This is spiritual. This is Jesus Christ. Now, who's most important? Over here. Now, please, you can question God however you want to, but not in a derogatory way. Over here, you know what we do? We say, why me, Lord? Why does this have to happen to me? Then we go to count. Lord, I come to Sunday school. I come to church. I come Sunday night. I come Wednesday night. And I read my Bible and I pray. Why happened to me, Lord? And all the focus, the importance is on you. Huh? Over here, you don't understand it all. But Lord, I know you're a sovereign God. You're in control of this matter. I'm going to love you. And I realize it's your joy. Lord, I'm going to count on you. I'm going to let your love. I'm going to continue in your love. Lord, no matter what happened, I know it's tough, but you're in control of it. That's over here. He's in control. Your count is wrong. Here's the problem. Our count system is wrong. Y'all understand? It's all about me. And God is trying to get the focus off of you and on Him. He knows about your problems. And I'm not belittling your problems. Mine's come too. And I'm not on a spiritual pedestal. But I've learned something. I learned it's not my joy. I know over here, you ready for this? When I get the count over here, I depress myself. I get depressed over here. I'm not looking for God to help me. Why? Because I'm at odds with Him. If I'm not careful, listen to me carefully. If I'm not careful, you ready for this? I'll stop reading my Bible. I'll stop praying. I'll stop coming to church. I'll stop, listen to me carefully, affiliating with anybody of the church. And pastor, you've seen it. You go and see somebody that was staying out of church. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. That's exactly what happened over here. Despondency, despair, depression over here. And so we need to learn how to count right. He said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. You need to understand it's of the Lord, not you. Y'all understand? And our value system is wrong. Boy, we can praise the Lord. We can do all these things when everything happens. All of a sudden, boom. Then we back over here again. And then you ready for this? We can get on our knees and pray to Him and say, Lord, how long? I haven't been going through this long enough. And you're ready for this when someone decides to quote Romans 8:28 to you. Hey, I know that verse. You don't have to tell me that verse. You get mad. Huh? Huh? Hey, I know that scripture. You don't have to quote it. Quote it to yourself. Huh? You don't want to hear it. So our counting is wrong. Say the word count again. Count. We need to count right, my friend. Please get that right. Count right. Now, notice the next word you see in verse 4. knowing this is a trying of your faith, work it patient. Now, the word here is knowing, but I want you to say no. Say no. No. Now, this word no here is a word of confidence. Word of confidence. Now, notice over here, you may not know exactly all that's taking place in your life, but one thing you ought to know, God is in control. There's nothing that slipped through the cracks. He's in control of the matter. A lot of time, he ordained it. Can I tell you something? Even Satan has to get permission to do anything. And the psalmist said in 119, he said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. God is in control. You know that. And so we see here this word know is the word confidence. I'm confident in God knowing exactly what he's doing. I know. I got confidence in that. Knowing this is the time of your faith, work it patient. You need to know that it's working patient. How many of you planted anything this year? How many of you like to plant? How many of you know about planting? You know, you won't raise your hand for anything now. I'm not trying to take hey, we're just going to quit all of a sudden. Raise your hand. How many of you like planting? How many, when you put that seed in the ground, you say, it ain't going to happen. Ain't no sense of me putting it down there. It just ain't. What are you putting? I'm just putting the seed down. It ain't going to happen. I'm just putting it down. But you know what you do? You ready for this? You water it. You fertilize it, and you don't see nothing. But you know something's going to take place, don't you? Huh? You know something's going to take place. Eventually, you keep watering it, you keep fertilizing it, and whoop, boy, that seed's going to pop out of that ground. Amen? It's going to pop up. Amen? You know something is taking place, and you need to understand why you're going into your trials and tribulation. God is working in your life. He's trying to produce something, mature you. And etc. Knowing this, listen, be careful. Knowing this, he said, knowing this, that the time of your faith, work it patience. And notice this, my friend. Hey, listen, it worked patience. Took 3.5 years, even with disciples. Even he had to come back with Peter and work on him a little bit more, didn't he? I'm 57 years old. Can you answer? I wasn't an infant yesterday, and then the next day I turned 57. Took time. Patience. You see that? So it takes time. God is doing a work. Knowing this is the sign of your faith, work at what? Patience. Give time for God to do what he's doing in your life. You ready for this? God does a well done job. And if you would allow him to do what he's doing, it'll be a help to you. Now, say the word no again. No. Now, let me give you the next word here. And this is a real profound word, okay? Look at the next word here verse 5, okay? But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Nothing but him. Amen. You got all you need in him. Now, that word let, say let. Now, notice, if you count right, I'll stay from over there, okay? That's the flesh. We'll stay from over there for a little while. But if you count right, and you know God knows what he's doing, this is very profound. Why not let him do it? That's a yielding word. Let him do it. You hear what I'm saying? Let him do it. Now notice how we question God about all sorts of things. How many of you been to the doctor before? Raise your hand. Bunch of us. How many of us question that doctor about his credentials? Got one. Hey, Doc, what school you go to? Hey, how well did you do in school? What if he said, I barely made it? And guess what? I get up. I don't need you, man. But you understand what I'm saying? You never question. Now, you ready for this? When he tells you you got a certain problem, you don't say, that's not my problem. Where you get that from? I need to get a second, a third, or fourth opinion. You don't get you. You don't. You come out back in the room. Let's say a husband back there, and his wife said, "Well, what's wrong?" You would tell him exactly what that doctor told you, right? Well, he said I have such and such, and you believe that. Then they send blood work off, amen, for a diagnosis, right? Come back with that, with your answer. Well, you got such and such based on blood work, right? Now, a lot of times he said, I'm going to give you a prescription for this problem. He write the prescription, unless you're a doctor here, okay, or a pharmacist. He writes you a prescription. None of you understand. Huh? You don't understand it. But you take it to the pharmacist. You don't say, hey, I'm giving you something. I hope it's the right thing you're giving me. Huh? You don't. You give it to the pharmacist. I want this prescription filled. They give it back to something that you can explain. You can read. Because they tell you every 4 hours, every 8 hours or whatever. Right? And I know all of us don't do like we're supposed to do. But the prescription says, let's say every 8 hours. One pill every 8 hours. You don't ask the pharmacist, is this the right medicine you're giving me? Are you sure about that? You take it. You yielding. You follow the instructions and directions. And you do exactly what the doctor ordered for you to do. We don't question. Well, why when it comes to God? We got all kind of questions. Huh? He's our makeup. He don't have to send off diagnosis. He don't have to send off no blood work. Amen. He created us. He knows every bit of what you need. Amen. And what you cannot take. Okay. He knows. Why we question him? That's my problem. Why we will not let him do what he wants to do in your life. Flesh, we'll trust the doctor more than we'll trust God. It's just a physical need versus a spiritual need. Isn't he the great physician, the greatest physician? Can he heal you even physical as well as spiritual? Our problem is spiritual, not physical. Our problem is trusting him spiritual. And that's why we have the problems that we have today. And notice, once again, I am not belittling your trials and your tribulation. I'm not. So, we got the word. Count. Know. And let him have his way in your life. Hey, you got saved. You ready for this? You've been bought with the price. You're not your own. You understand? Even as a slave, that bond slave, you don't have no rights. All of it's in him. You understand? All of a sudden, we become the master. We tell him what to do, how to do it. When to mess with our life. Boy, I like that song, Take My Life and Let It Be. You know, when it comes to that part, take my life and let me be. Just leave me alone. Let me live this life like I want to live it. God knows exactly what's taking place in your life. He ordains it. Whether you like it or not. And notice what he says here, and I'll not take too much longer here. Notice what he says here in verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Notice the word ask. Say the word ask. Ask. Now, we got four words. We got count, we got know, let, and ask. Now, the Jews, and even look at the book of Proverbs, they were a people of wisdom. They were praying people. Proverbs, book of wisdom, Notice, they are asking here, and this word asking here is a reference to prayer. And notice, he said, if any man lack wisdom, there's a defect in your wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and that he give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Notice here, the word ask here is you're asking and you need wisdom because you know some, a lot of time you know the scriptures, but you do not know how to apply the scriptures in the right time, the right place, for the right situation. How many times you know people know the scriptures, but they don't rightly divide it? And a lot of times when we go through trials and tribulations, we do not rightly divide the scriptures as we should. Notice this, the word ask. He said, what should I ask him, Brother Kelly? Here's the key here. If I'm over here and I'm allowing God to do what he wants to do in my life, I'm over here, what I'm asking for? I'm asking, listen to me carefully now, because the focus over here is off of me. It's all on him. Over here, Lord, show me. You ready for this? Lord, I'm praying that you would show me how to be a help to someone else when I'm going through it. You ready for this? Over here, you don't see nobody else but yourself. Huh? We know the acrostics, right? You know, Jesus, others, and then yourself, right? Over here, you can do that. Because you focus on someone else. You ever notice when you focus on someone else's problem, it takes the light, it makes the burden light on you? When you're focused on someone else. Y'all understand? When you focus on someone else. Let me give you, let me share something with you. And please don't think I'm nowhere near where I need to be, okay, and not on a spiritual pedestal or anything like that. Back in 1983, my wife and I buried two kids in 4 months' time. A three-year-old and 9 months stillborn. 4 months' time. We were young Christians at the time. And boy, we had Christians telling us that ain't fair and all this old stuff. You understand, Kevin? On the other hand. You know what really helped us? And this may sound really, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but what really helped me is that I walked in a graveyard one day and I saw kid after kid after kid after kid after kid after kid after kid that families have gone through the same thing that we've gone through. So that let me know that we weren't alone. Now notice, after that, my wife and I began a ministry at going to the hospitals, children's hospital, and to be a help to those that were going through it. That helped us. Because we reached out to help someone else. Y'all understand that? And so when we know over here, we know God's in control of our life. He's in control. So guess what? He don't want you to go on vacation when you go through trial and tribulation. He wants you to continue to do what you've been doing. And that's serving him. Worshiping him. Amen. And what Job do? Hey, he worshiped God in the midst of all of that. And all I'm saying to you, when you go through it, do not let it shake your faith in him. That's the joy. That's the joy. I know of a story, and I don't know how true it is, but another pastor was telling me this, where this young lady was, matter of fact, she was sent home, okay, to die. That was her. Actually, you know, she wanted to spend the rest of her life at home. And a Mississippi preacher told me this, and he said I believe to be true, and said that this young lady knew she was going home to be with the Lord. She looked in the telephone book and called everybody she did not know, okay, knew and did not know, just rambling down the page, just calling people. Would you come to my house, please? I got something very important to tell you. And you ready for this? She called a pastor. I said, Pastor, could you come to my house? Said, I got some people you need to see. And he said, when he pulled up, man, he said all of the cars, man, he thought she had died. And finally, he parked at the end somewhere, and finally, he worked his way through. And you ready for this? When he walked in, she said, this is my pastor. So he want to preach to you. He want to tell you about the Lord. Many people come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Now, let me share something with you that I know for a fact. This is a friend of mine. I don't know if you knew him. He was in Pell City area. Name was Steve Hoss. I don't know if he was a pastor in that area, Raglan. I think Raglan, Alabama, somewhere up in there, a little small church there. And he was helping me in the prisons. And one particular day he was coming down. He came down to help me. He said, Brother Kelly, I'm going blind. I can't see. So I stopped by the store and bought some little glasses, you know, from the drugstore to see. He said, "Brother, I just cannot see." Well, make a long story short, he left us. After the revival was over, he went something, I think, to Walkertown, North Carolina. He called me about a week after that. He said, "Brother Kelly, he gave me 6 months to live." And I laughed. I said, "Brother Steve, man, stop pulling me." He said, "No, brother, I'm serious. Brain tumor." And make a long story short, he called me and wanted to go to prison. And I said, "Brother, let me talk to your wife." And I said, "Is it okay that he go?" She said, "Yeah, he can go. He wants to go." Well, he had been paralyzed from, I want to say, the left side. I'm not for sure. I think the left side on down. And this is how he would walk. This is how he would walk. And he came to prison with us. And you know the trays we carry. He had this tray in his hand. And he was on the yard, on the prison yard with us. And he would. And I said, "Brother Steve, you okay?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay, Brother Kelly." And he would win more people to the Lord and pass out more tracts at that time than anybody on that team. And you ready for this? He would drag his feet a little bit. He'd look at me. He said, "Brother Mike," that's what he called me. He said, "Brother Mike." I said, "Yeah, Brother Steve." He said, "I still love the Lord." Amen. He'll walk a little further. And the Lord is my witness. He'll walk a little further. Probably about 30 minutes, he'll look at me. He said, "Brother Mike." I said, "Yeah, Brother Steve." He said, "I still love the Lord." Amen. And he said it so much, and then about the fourth or fifth time, he said, "Okay, Steve, I got it." He still loved the Lord. And can I tell you something? I was there at that man's deathbed. And you ready for this? He said, "Brother Kelly, I still love the Lord." So it took him out through eternity, loving the Lord. That man was 48 years old when he went home to be with the Lord. I want to say I think he was 48 when he went home to be with the Lord. And could I tell you something that has stuck to me? That love, joy, connection stayed with him. No matter what the situation and the circumstances was. You know what he would tell me? "Brother Kelly, I'm heaven bound. Brother, I'm going to heaven. I still love the Lord." And that took him throughout eternity. I trust tonight that you learn how to count. Amen? You learn how to count. And I trust that you know you got confidence in God now. And you will let him do what he wants to do in your life. And if there's any lacking or wisdom, ask. He'll give it to you, amen. To all men, and upbraid it not. And he'll give it to you. He'll not beat you over the head about it. He'll give it to you. And you ready for this? Let him ask in what faith? You got to believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I trust tonight that you pull off your mask tonight. And if you need help in that area, in any area, or count it joy, you raise your hands earlier tonight. And if God has spoken to your heart tonight, please get it settled. Get your counting right. Get your value system in its rightful place. And that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you put your eyes on him, oh boy, what a blessing. The outcome would be totally different. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day you've given us. Father, thank you so much for your word, which is truth. Father, I do love you tonight. I do pray, Lord, that each individual here tonight, Lord, has learned how to count it all joy. Realizing, Lord, we can look backwards and realize, Lord, it's your joy. We can look ahead and realize, Lord, we can rejoice because we have a home in heaven. Lord, we can rejoice right here at the present, knowing that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, help us tonight. We're needed people. We do love you. And I do pray, Lord, that we have our value system in its rightful place. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you are to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.